Hello and welcome to Legal Management Talk, the official podcast of the Association of Legal Administrators. I'm your host, Valerie Danner. Today's guest is Dan McCormick. He is the CEO of Dan McCormick & Associates and a member of ALA's Professional Development Advisory Committee, what we refer to as the PDAC. He has 18 years of experience in finance and 23 years managing a larger firm. That finance will be key today because our topic is the economy. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Val. It's great to be here.
I have to say, I absolutely adore your background. We're going to be photobombed by a cute dog the whole time.
That's my doggy.
I love it. Not the snow, but the dog part. All right. So today's topic is the economy, which is very squishy because I feel like for the past year, it's been up and down. Can't get a clear definition if we're slightly in a recession, heading to a recession. So I guess my first question would be, on a scale of everything is puppies and kittens to we should be hiding our money in our mattress, where are we in terms of a recession?
I'm not sure if there's one answer to that. It depends on who you're talking to and how they're viewing the facts. And what I mean by that, if you think about Friday, this past Friday, the jobs report came out for June. And if you talk to one group of people, they're upset because it's a lot worse than what was projected. And you talk to another group of people, they're all excited because it's well above where it was in 2019. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to take a step back and look back at what's happened over the last couple of years. In the pandemic, businesses closed down, employees stayed home, inventory became scarce. So as a result, when we started opening things back up, everything was scarce, caused prices to increase. And that's where we've been heading an inflationary time, and it's really increased over the last couple of years. And quite honestly, if you look at things, interest rates are probably at a 16 to 17 year high. Mm-hmm. Over the past 18 months, the Federal Reserve is taking action that at a pace that hasn't been seen in over 40 years. And if you talk to a lot of people, they're probably doing things that, barring any other major political economic event, geopolitical event, they're going to hopefully create what they call a soft landing. Won't lead into a recession, but certainly it's not the best of situations. There's more job openings right now than there are people looking for. Mm-hmm. So employees have the upper hand. They're making good wages, employers have to pay more. And the question is, how well off are employees? Reality is you're paying close to $900 more a year for gas. If you have a variable rate interest rate loans, for every $100,000, you're paying $5,000 more a year in interest than you were a year ago. As my practice focuses on consulting and coaching, I'm a one person shop. My health insurance broker called me a month ago, recommended I stay with the same health insurance company because it only went up a little bit. Everybody else was going up a lot. I got the bill, first month bill, that little bit was an 11% increase. Oof. So think about that between gas, your borrowing rates, everyday living.
Groceries.
Yeah.
I went shopping this weekend. I bought two boxes of cereal and an almond milk, and it was $17.
Yeah. So that soft landing, might be soft for a business. And the question is, employees, how far along can they continue, bearing this cost as well? So, yeah, people may be making more money, but are they really better off?
Right.
That's a question we'll see over time. If we can get to that soft landing.
So, regardless of what's going on economically, I mean, it can't be overstated that firms should have a plan and have a safety net. So what should legal administrators be doing now, regardless of what the economic outlook may or may not be, plan for such events?
Yeah, I do think it's very important that administrators, they need to understand and know the practice areas for their firm. They really, really get into what makes those practice areas operate and how do they perform in various economic times. A big picture, during strong economies, M&A does well, deal structuring and so forth. But as the economy weakens, those practice areas may go away, but yet then bankruptcy comes along, a litigation comes strong, restructuring comes strong. So you need to know that. And once you know your practice areas, you allow them to be your beacon in terms of resources and hiring. If you need to do something in your firm, you better be taking care of the practice areas that are going to perform well over the next 6 to 9 months. Let them dictate where you're going to put your resources and use it wisely. Also, I think as administrators, we should be working with all the partners, expanding the marketing efforts, you know, increased blogging, podcast, or whatever it can be, making sure we're helping out getting that marketing out there. To the extent you can, encourage your partners, you know, into conversations to reach out and talk to their clients and stay in touch with their clients. It's very important when the economy is changing. And I think also what we can do is we probably have more access and understanding of, say, the firm's research capabilities and knowledge management capabilities. We should be encouraging them to work with partners and develop new information and sources that are applicable to our partners' clients' industries. So provide them more information. The more we can provide a client information about what's happening in their industry, the more loyal they're going to come back to the firm.
It seems like it opens the door for some cross-selling opportunities as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So firms, like, for key performance indicators, like, if you, what are three, would you say, red flags they should be looking for right now within those?
Okay. So there's many indicators out there. Mm-hmm. And I would focus on where the economy is right now and thinking about the next 12 months, because we really don't know where it's going to end up. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we should have mechanisms in place to monitor our deals. What deals are in the backlog? What resources can we provide to the partners to bring those deals online now? Maybe the partner, he or she, may be too busy, but maybe there's other people in the firm that can help them get that deal going. So I think that's important. Look at the revenue projections that we've had. You know, when we put the budget together, I'm just talking revenues here. And are we on target? You know, have a conversation with the partners of what's happening there. Account receivables are big. You know, we should have systems in place. And no matter how many times I talk to firms out there, what I'll say drives me crazy is everyone waits to the year end for a big year end push. You know, throw the year end push out the window and do it year round. You need to be doing that on a constant basis. And that takes leadership, not just from the administrator, but from your partners as well, because you need the backing that you can approach the rainmakers that, yes, collecting receivables today and doing your billing as well is important. You know, and that's always a struggle, because the more money the partners will bring in, sometimes the less important it becomes relative to getting the bills out every month or collecting the money right away. You should be pushing the reduced days receivable as best as possible. You need to be looking at retention, client retention. Make sure there's no changes in any historic patterns. Are we losing people? Why? You should have in place expense variances. Look for those big variances as to what's been happening, and actually explore your budget. What can we do to reduce expenses that we had planned? That's not important. And I guess the final thing would be cash flow. You know, you should be reporting that as no less than a monthly basis and making sure you're on target, not only on the collection side, but also on the payable side. And those, you know, so I think those are the big, you know, index, big key points that you should be looking at.
How do you break that mindset of the year-end push for billing? Because I think that's a really tangible one that they could work on starting today, like, to make that a part of their workflow.
I think that you need, you know, maybe that's one of the first things I should have mentioned. You need to, before you even get into that, you have to have a conversation with firm leadership, and you all have to be on the same page. Everyone has to recognize what's happening. It's an agreement, because if you have disagreement, then you're not going to be able to get that pushed across the whole firm. So you have to have firm leadership in agreement as to here's where we see the economy going or the firm going right now for the next 12 months. And these are our key points. so that when you start pushing on the receivables, they're receptive. But if you're not in agreement, that's going to be a problem. So it's very important to have that communication up front. Here's the direction we need to take for the next 12 months. These are our key points. Don't get in the weeds. Just talk about the high level information and push that.
So you also mentioned looking at other things in terms of how to save money within the firm outside of like the client sphere. Seems to me like a hybrid workplace has offered firms some real leverage when it comes to significant savings with their leases. So what are some tips and tricks you've learned there?
I think it's important to recognize that law firms are considered what they call a credit tenant. Most landlords are going to look favorably on a law firm because the banks look favorably on law firms, and they like to see that them as a tenant because the landlord borrows money as well. So it's like having a law firm. So that's important, which means you can use that to your strength in terms of negotiation, and don't wait until your lease is coming due. Approach it. If you have situation as excess space or this high level of expenses, approach your landlord now. Maybe you can do what we call blend and extend. We can say, hey, we'd love to extend our lease early. Don't wait till it's matured, but you know, we're paying all this extra expenses and overtime HVAC or so forth. How about giving us a break on that or reducing that cost, and we'll go out another 5-7 years or whatever that is. So work on that. I think it's important, and when you talk about space, if you are designing space today, even at the cost of efficiency, make sure your space is flexible two ways. One, if we have to give it back, we can give it back and not suffer any major costs in giving it back. And secondly, if things turn better, how can we reuse this space and convert it? Maybe it's storage areas, maybe it's back rooms, we want to make them offices. So you're not doing leasehold improvements there probably. You're probably doing front furniture, which is even better because it's a 7-year depreciation versus the life of the lease. I think it's important also to think about artificial intelligence today. There's so much happening, I don't have the answer for that. I'm not a tech specialist, so to speak, but there are ways to use that. And even though lawyers rightfully are not using it in their final analysis, so to speak, the consensus is building. The lawyers who aren't using it are going to be on the losing end because people are drifting that way. They're faster each week. And there's such time savings by doing some of this. And just to be clear, and I'm not marketing anybody here, but as an industry, we have used Lexis and Westlaw forever. They have artificial intelligence on their websites, strictly on their data. If you're not using that, you're falling behind the pace there because it's there and it's data you use all the time.
Right. So it seems the key advice is just to stay on top of things.
Yeah. Across the board. And the other thing is, I think you can't do it all alone. Mm-hmm. So, and even if you're not going to be doing something on the real estate, and we talk about real estate because it's such a large expense. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done this already, I would encourage everybody to hook up with a large scale broker, commercial real estate broker. And the reason I say that, the data they have relative to your local market areas is amazing. They know what rents are paying for. They know what subleases are going for. They know how landlords are handling it when people want to give back space. So all these issues, as an administrator, we should be looking at. What better source than a commercial real estate broker who has that data? Not by the tens and hundreds, but by the thousands. And they probably have it across the country as well. And you can, that's the type of information as an administrator that helps you analyze to make the right decisions.
Seems to me you could say you're shopping for a new lease and that would get back to your current leaseholder.
I would not renew a lease unless I spent, 18 months or 24 months ahead of time, doing all the dog and pony shows, going out there and visiting all the buildings and so forth. And, I'll give a shout out to my friend David Fitzgerald at CB Richard Ellis, who helped me for 23 years. We did a lot of lease transactions, and the data I was able to use always were very helpful.
Well, Dan, I think this has been very helpful and insightful for our listeners. It seems to me like regardless of the economy, these are tips that they can take back to their firm and start using today.
I hope so.
So, well, is there anything else you'd like to add or you think listeners should know?
I think, as I said this before, communications, I think it's important to really analyze things and consider the what ifs. Because if we're at a point where we have to think about significant job losses or expense reductions, make sure you do the analysis. What if? What if the economy improves and I've laid off people or I reduce this and so forth? What's going to happen? Can I continue to operate the way I always want to operate? I'm not sure if people do that enough. So before you make that major decision of doing some major cuts, definitely do a what if. Can we go maybe a few more months longer before we do that? I think that's very important.
All right. I think that's a great note to end it on. Dan McCormick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And as a reminder, you can subscribe to all episodes of Legal Management Talk at alanet.org/podcast or watch us on YouTube. Thanks so much. Have a great day.